Encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look some more there, and next week we'll be in it again. I try to remember that the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. So therefore, this is a two-part message. Okay? There was too much to... that I wanted to talk to think about to in order to cover. So we'll look at the first part and then we'll continue this. Ephesians chapter 5 comes to a section that we are familiar with, starting verse 22. But last week I looked at verse 21, which is, I think, a very vital part of this. So let me start with 21 and we'll read down to verse 26 for today, and then we'll continue the rest of it next time. 21 says, Ephesians 5:21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And then he goes on to talk about some other things. So let's think about this. I want to begin by reminding us, which I think everybody here has already agreed, so it's probably just preaching to the choir, as the saying goes. But I want to remind us of what I see in the scripture passage, and a reminder. If you're writing on your notes, hope you've got them out, follow Christ's pattern for marriage. Follow Christ's pattern for marriage. So I look to this scripture passage. There is information and there is direction about what the pattern that God wanted, Christ wanted, for marriage. He talked about wives and their relationship to their husbands in this scripture, and I'll talk as we go through that more. Down to verse 31, though, it says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Our world and our country has gotten to the place where they no longer respect what God says about marriage. We need to affirm and reaffirm God knew what he was doing when he set up marriage in the first place. Marriage is God's idea, not us. He's the one that established the relationship with Adam and Eve to start with, because that was the first marriage, the first home that God established. And so God said the marriage is to be between a man and a woman. He said in the scripture passage, which is a quote from the passage in Genesis, "For this reason," what reason? Talk about all the things above that. "A man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they become one flesh." So I just remind us today, God's pattern for marriage is one man, one woman for life. That's God's desire. Now, I recognize that God forgives when we mess up. He allows forgiveness. He allows relationships. But if we are allowed to do it at all, have a choice at all, we want to choose. If I get married, it's one man, one woman for the life of both of us. Karen and I have talked about this. Marriage is, she said to me one day, marriage is for a lifetime. Love is forever. Because in heaven there won't be any marriage, Jesus said. But when I think about it, God did not put two men or two women together. Okay? That's what His Word says. That's not a... Now, you can argue with me all you want to, but you're going to have to take, if you're a believer in Jesus, this is the last word, and it doesn't matter what I think per se. It matters what this book says, what God says about that relationship. We need to pray for people who are now in this country trying to promote not only tolerance, but approval of homosexual relationships and marriages. And you're well aware that we're dealing with issues in... Fortunately, recently I found out there's a cake baker in down south who won a case. Now, it probably is going to be appealed, but at least at this point, doesn't have to make a cake for a homosexual couple with all the... She didn't make a cake. She didn't want to put the stuff on it they wanted to put on it. She won. Now, you're well aware, I assume, that there's also some cases before the Supreme Court that may affect us about these kind of relationships. It doesn't matter. It's important. Okay, I'm not going to say it's not important. But it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court decides. God has already decided. God has already told us this is what works. Now, I recognize that that puts me probably in a minority of a minority. Because more and more Christians are saying, oh, it's okay. They don't want to do it, but it's okay. Now, does God love those people? Absolutely. Does God want to save them? Does He want to deliver them? Here's what I say. Some people say, I may have been sidetracking here a little bit, but anyway, I'll get back to this. But I'm thinking about marriage. This scripture passage compares the church and Christ to marriage between a husband and a wife. That's tied together in this scripture passage. And so, I just remind us that God's pattern is better than anyone else. And it'll always work better. Always work better. And so, I guess enough said about that right now. Except I'm saying, Christ, if we want to follow the pattern of Jesus, which is what we ought to be doing as Christians, the pattern of Christ is marriage as one man, one woman, for a lifetime. Does God forgive when you get a divorce? Yes. Does God redeem? Yes. So I'm not saying He doesn't, but I'm saying in my mind, divorce is not an option for me. And I see some others over here saying, shaking their head agreement. By the way, I pray for you guys. And I've got some young couples in my family who just got married. I'm praying for those all the time. Because one of the things the devil wants to do is split up couples. Because if he can tear up the home, which we sang about, then he's got a long way of accomplishing his bigger purpose. Because, you know, in our world, if the homes are divided, which God redeems from, I'm not saying that, but if they're divided many times, you know who hurts when a marriage breaks up, who gets divorced? The couple do, but who hurts most? It's the kids. How do I know? I watched it in my own family, in my own kids. I see what happens to them. Folks, if you don't stay married for each other, stay married for your kids and find a way to work it out. Because I watched what happens in two cases in my own personal life and my own family, and I see what happens to the kids. I don't care how friendly, I don't care how kind it's supposed to be, they suffer as a result of that. Does God redeem out of it? Yes. Can God forgive? Yes. Can God restore? Yes. But folks, if you don't have to put them through it, don't do it. So I'll just say about that. That's Christ's pattern for marriage, and I'm praying that God will help us to maintain that, because the enemy likes to split them up. So I hope, let me just back up a minute. I hope as you think about young couples that you know about, you pray for them. You take them to the Lord. You ask them to help them as they deal with issues, because they're going to have problems. You know that. I think they've already found out that not everything's a bed of roses after you get married. Sometimes some thorns in the bunch. you gotta work them out. But pray for them. I'm serious. Pray for every young couple you know. As far as I go with every couple, but especially young ones. That God will enable them to work through the issues and stay together and center in Jesus. Second thing on your notes. Follow Christ's pattern for submission. He talked about in the verses 22 through 24 about wives and their relationship to their husbands. Unfortunately, some men say, see, you're supposed to do everything I say exactly like I say it. Because it says wives submit to their husbands. I'm boss and you're supposed to do what I say. Now, I don't know if anybody in this room does that or not. Hopefully not, guys. It is quiet. That is not what he's talking about. He is not saying your wife is to be a doormat to her husband at all. But I want you to notice the basis, what he says. Verse 22 says, be subject to your husband's what? As unto the Lord. Now the verse 21, which I preached about last Sunday, said, we both submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And if a husband and a wife are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, the rest of this scripture passage will be easier to do. I'm not saying easy. I think you recognize marriage is not always easy. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Why did I say that? Praise the Lord. My wife has stayed with me for 56 years. And I want to say to you, it's sweeter now than it was 56 years ago. It is. It's a different level. I'm sidetracking a little bit, but that's all right. Some of you, I've heard some of you talk about the husband retiring. And I've heard the wife say, I don't know if I want him to retire or not, because I don't want him around all that time or not. Karen and I have agreed that we'd love to be together. And if I ever retire, maybe, we'll enjoy being together. It'll be fun. Because we love each other today more than we love each other 56 years ago. That's what God wants for every couple. To enjoy life. Everybody's different. What I'm saying is, God's pattern of submission brings us to do that. He said, do the commission, the submission, as unto the Lord. In other words, it begins with me and my wife submitting to the Lordship of Jesus first. Because what he's talking about in the scripture passage will not happen in the human level. Do you realize this? It's got to be in the Lord. Now, people do some pretty good things sometimes in marriage and get along. But if you're to have the level, and I read some comment recently that said, people can learn, even non-Christians can kind of get along, but this is the ultimate. This is the supreme level that God wants us to have. So we say, follow God's pattern of submission. It's to the Lord. So when I'm submitted to the Lord, I gladly do what He asks me to do. So if a wife is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, she gladly does what God asks her to do in relationship to her husband. Now you recognize that this is voluntary submission. It is voluntary caring. Because what's the parallel here? Jesus and His church. Does Jesus force anybody to submit to Him? No. We voluntarily receive Christ and submit to Him and relationship to Him. The wife, because she loves Jesus and her husband, submits to His leadership. Let me read a couple of scripture verses. It's on your notes. It says, I will speak no more with you, for the ruler of this world, of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up and let us go from here. I think I mentioned this last week, but just to remind us. Jesus, in His life here, at least on earth, was what? Totally submitted to the Lordship of His Father. That's what He said. He said, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. So what Jesus is asking us to do through His Word, He did Himself. So He's not asking for something that He didn't do. He's only asking for what can be done by His grace, what He demonstrated, and in us, as He did it, He'll help us do it. The other passage says, but He gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So He calls on us in this submission to have a spirit of humility, which I also mentioned last week. Spirit of humility recognizes that I don't have it all together and I've got a lot to learn. He says, He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. The key in my life and the key in your life is submitting to what God says. Not what I think, not what I feel, not what I want, but more and more learn to submit to what God says in His Word, and it tells us exactly what He wants us to do. Is that where you get your information? Is that where you get your direction? Or are you just saying, well, I don't like that, or I like this, or I want, no. I come back to submit to the Lordship of Christ. And so, Christ's pattern of submission allows a wife to do what He said in His Scripture. And we'll talk more about what the husband should do in a minute. He said, Christ is the head of the church. He cares. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives to be their own husbands in everything. When I recognize my submission and the wife recognizes her submission is to God first, then she can do the other part. You realize that? And it's submitting to husband is submitting to God. You get that? So, I want to follow Christ's pattern for marriage, His pattern for submission. But the third area that I want to think about is follow Christ's pattern of self-giving love. Follow Christ's pattern of self-giving love. Down in verse 25, He addresses husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. In 28, He said, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. And then down in verse 33, He said, nevertheless, each individual among you is to have love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see to respect her husband. Self-giving love. What's the pattern? Husbands, love your wives as much as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. So what that says to us, guys, we ask God to help us to love Jesus as much as He loved us. How much did Jesus love the church? The church is us, we're the people of God, right? He's not talking about a system per se or an organization, although we do things to get the work done. But that's not the issue. Jesus Christ loved us enough to die on the cross for our benefit. I like what you said, and I mentioned it before. I still like it. On a poster I've seen, it says, Jesus is saying, how much do I love you? And He says, I love you this much. I love you this much. I'll die on the cross for you. He gave Himself for our benefit, that we might know Him, that we might love Him, that we might have Him. And so that's a pattern of self-giving love. The scripture passage says, therefore, be imitators of God. As beloved children, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Be imitators of God, walk in love. Now, we're talking about God's kind of love. In our culture, in our world, if you say love, what probably crosses the mind of the average, at least non-Christian? It's not love, it's lust. Most of the time, when you read a novel about love, what does it wind up usually being about? Some kind of physical relationship. And there's a place for that in a marriage, by the way. There's nothing wrong with marriage. But just out, I guess, what bothers me a lot right now is that I read about young people who hook up. What they mean is they're going to have a sexual relationship that night with somebody. That's wrong, folks, and that's terrible. That's destructive. You know that? I said I'm preaching to the choir. You already believe all that. That's not self-giving love, by the way. If you love somebody, you love a guy or a gal, if you really love them like Jesus talks about loving them, you will not enter into a sexual relationship until you're married. Because if you do ahead of time, you're really not loving that other person. You're being selfish. That's not loving. Sometimes a guy says, well, if you love me, you will. No. If you love me, you won't. Until marriage. I realize that this is contrary to all you read and all you see and all the media and all the movie star, all that junk. It's junk, folks, by the way. And I need to come to say, I want to be the husband that gives himself, yields himself totally to God first and then learns to give himself for his wife. I mean, he cares about her. I'm going to talk more about this next week, but he cares about what's going on in her life. He lays down his life on her behalf. We saw a demonstration of somebody laying down their lives this week, if you've been watching the news, at the school shooting that some individuals stood and protected some kids because they cared. That's laying down your life literally. But when I lay down my life, what am I saying? I'm saying that her interest comes before mine. I'm saying that her well-being in the Lord comes before mine. I'm saying that I want her to get everything that she can possibly become in Christ, which we'll do more about. The other scripture says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and amen, forevermore. He gave himself for us. The other verse on the other side of your notes says, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock, among whom Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Which he purchased with his own blood. Does that make you special? He's talking about us, right? When he said to purchase the church, he's talking about each of us who are born again of the blood of Christ and who are walking in it. He loved us that much. He gave himself. He set aside that. Now, I remind us, the only person who can do this, guys, is a man who's walking with Jesus. Human nature does not give itself up normally, especially for... But I'm praying and saying to us and praying that all of us as guys will do what this says. We will love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What if you get married and you decide, I don't know if that's the right wife for me? If you're married, that's the right wife for you. Okay? Our world says, no, it's all right. He purchased us with his own blood. And so we're saying, help us to give. Now, if you are giving yourself, as the scripture says, to God first, which is he talked about how Christ gave himself for the church. If a guy is giving himself literally for his well-being of his wife, will she have any trouble submitting to him? Shouldn't. I don't say she won't. But if you're demonstrating the self-giving love that God called us to be, it means that others can do the same with us. Because Christ demonstrated what it's like to give himself for us, and in confidence we can yield ourselves to him who's already given himself on our behalf. We can trust him with confidence, follow him with confidence, submit to him with confidence. So what I'm suggesting is I as a husband and you as a husband, we need to set the pattern and not say, well, you got to obey because I said so. We need to be worthy of being followed. Jesus was worthy of being followed, right? And he's our example. Do we do it perfectly? No. Do you have to ever say to your wife, I'm wrong? Is that easy? It's like pulling teeth to say I'm wrong sometimes. Well, isn't it? I mean, it's honest. You were right. But it goes a long way when we admit we were wrong, when we were. We submit. We love because we love, we admit the need. The last thing on your notes, follow Christ's pattern for setting apart as holy. Follow Christ's pattern for setting apart as holy. Why do I say that? He talked about Jesus giving himself for the church, for the Christians, so that, in order that, he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. The word sanctify means to set apart as holy, to be special, to be sacred, to be set apart. What I'm saying is, we as husbands need to see our wife as a set apart, special person that God created. What I'm saying is, sometimes we look and we say, well, she doesn't do this and she doesn't do that, and I wish she had a different attitude. But if I look at her as this scripture says, I see her as God's special person. If I look at the wife and say, God, thank you for the woman you created. Thank you that she's your masterpiece, which she is. And I began to say, help me to honor the things that are good and admirable about her, that I see her as holy, set apart for the Lord and for me. It'll change our relationship. If we're not careful, the devil comes along and you see, like the guy who one time, his wife wanted to please him. So she said, what do you want for breakfast? He said, I want 2 eggs. One scrambled, one fried, and a piece of toast. Well, she said, that's pretty good. I can do that. So she cooked, scrambled one, fried one, brought the toast. He looked, I'll be, you scrambled the wrong egg. If we're looking for criticism, we can give it, guys. But I'm looking to respect and honor this special creation that God put into my life, this woman God put into my life. I can see in her a lot of good things and admire them and celebrate those good things and forget about the things that I want to gripe about. What will love do in your home? Does Jesus do that for us? Does He forgive us and see who we are if we're saved as a new creation in Christ? He didn't go around looking, oh, you didn't read your Bible today. Thank you, Joe. Or He didn't come and say, this is my special lady who chewed her husband out this morning. Aren't you glad He didn't bring those things up? Does He? No, He forgives us. He goes on in anchor. When you read through the scriptures, how does He describe the people who belong to Him? How does He see us? We don't see ourselves that way. The devil doesn't want us to, I believe. Holy, blameless, before the Father. I know we haven't lived up, but that's the way He sees us. Forgiven, redeemed, renewed. Why not ask Him to help me do that about my mate that God put into my life? It'll change your home when you begin to see it that way. You begin to admire the way she does things. And that's not easy. Because most of us, as guys and as ladies, we don't think alike. And you, if you're honest, you know that. That's why they called men are from Mars and women are from Venus or whatever it was. But that's the way God made us. So if I begin to celebrate who she is, how she fixes things, how she does her dishes, how she cleans the house, how she thinks, it'll make a better marriage, folks. She'll become a better woman because you honor her and respect her. At least you'll see her better. And so I'm suggesting that as I read that scripture, sanctify her, see her as holy. See her set apart. See her as a child of God. See her as a special creation. And say, thank you, God, for putting me with a holy woman that God put into my life. And celebrate that relationship. A couple of scripture verses I've listed on your notes. It says, but when the kindness of God our Savior's love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Out of His love for us, He saved us, not on what we did, but the washing of regeneration and renewing by Holy Spirit. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, are you holy? Are you forgiven? Are you redeemed? Is your mate, who is also a Christian, the same position? So I look at her as him or her, both cases would apply, as holy people. I treat them with respect and honor because they're holy people. Let me read the other scripture passage. Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, revilers, or swindlers shall inherit the kingdom. Some of you were like this. I like this next part. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Whatever you were. Now, we pick on some things in that passage about homosexuals and so on, but he talked about some other things like thieves and greedy people and immoral, different things that some of us have to deal with. But he washed us. He forgave us. He changed us. That means we no longer do those things. We will want to live differently because of him. Folks, when you look at your mate and say, she is washed, she is sanctified, she is holy, she is justified, I'll see her in a different light. And that's true for the wife as well. She looks at her husband. Same principle applies in that case. So I pray that we will follow. He said in this scripture, he sanctified her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. He cleanses through the Word, the washing of God's Word. So let me suggest to you guys, we need to take the leadership in the Word and begin to share the Word in our homes. Sometimes we leave it up to our wives to do the sharing of the Word. You need to take the leadership, guys, as a man, and open the Word and share. You don't have to preach a sermon, but just begin to look at the Word with your mate. It'll change everything. Sometime. Because the Word changes us. And it'll change our relationship. And so he talks about the washing of the Word. Thank you, Lord. That's true. The last thing on your notes, the last passage says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel, which some people don't like that part, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Ask God to help you understand, appreciate who she is. And the same would be true all the other way around as far as that goes. Why? Because they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Both of you belong to Jesus. If you happen to be married to a person that doesn't belong to Jesus, then I pray that God will bless you as you live godly with that mate. And maybe someday that mate of yours will become a believer because of you. But I want you to notice what he said. Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to her. What's the last part of that passage say? So that your prayers will not be hindered. Get the picture? If we're mistreating our wives, our prayers are not going to be effective. If we're treating them with love and respect, as he said, our prayers can be effective. That's what I see in that. And so he talked about this. He gave our life, gave himself for us that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the Word. So if you see errors or faults in your mate, don't criticize. Get on your knees and say, God, would you minister to that need, that person, that concern? Maybe find some ways to encourage them to change if they need to be changed in the right spirit. You don't go home and say, you dummy, you ought to be doing something else. Don't work very well. But if you get on your knees and pray for that person and say, I'm concerned about this. Can we work on it? We can help. We can help one another. And I believe as we say, God, help us to do that, it can be accomplished. So Christ and his church is a pattern for marriage. Marriage is not the pattern for Christ and His church. Yeah. Christ and His church is a pattern for our marriage. So folks, as a couple, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ in our relationship together. That ought to cause us to evaluate very carefully. Now, some of you here are not married or your mates are no longer living, but the principles about submitting and all that to God works in everybody's life, regardless of whether you're married or not. So I'm saying, I want that to be my pattern. And I ask God to take a look at me, honestly. I hope you ask Him to take a look at you. Where are you? Have you submitted to Jesus? Which is evidence in your submitting to your husband. Are you loving Jesus as He said, which is evidence by my loving my wife? How am I doing? And I ask God to evaluate me. You know what? I can evaluate myself and give myself 100%. But I ask God to look inside me and see what He sees. And sometimes He sees it different than I do. And He'll say, you need to do this. You need to change here. You need an attitude change here. But when He does, what He does, though, He says, I'll help you make the change. He doesn't pound us on the head and say, you ought to be doing better. He says, now let me help you. Because it becomes better for us, better for our marriage, and better for the kingdom when we put into practice these truths. So I hope we leave here today saying, God, help me do that. There's some more to be said, but I want to think about this. So today, if you'd like to have this quality of life in you, which is, this would be a quality of life, folks, a quality of marriage. But you have to have Jesus to get it done. So if you want anything at all of that, you start by saying, Jesus Christ, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. And you died for me and rose again. I'm asking you to come live inside me to enable me to live this way. Have this kind of life that's available. And then as a Christian, which many of us are, say, God, help me to evaluate where am I in my relationship to my mate or how am I in relationship to you in submitting and obeying and carrying out your will. Father, thank you for bringing us together today for the Word. We pray that we will be washed by the Word. We'll have your Spirit speak to us through the Word. And God, as we go today, I pray that we'll hear you in a fresh way. And we'll put some practice in these principles that make a difference in our walk with you and in our walk in our family relationships where we have them. Lord, today we commit this moment to you as we make choices about what we're going to do, about what we've heard. Thank you, Lord, for your direction. And in Jesus' name, amen.